You know, there's a wonderful record in the book of John, chapter 11, and it's about the raising of Lazarus. That's quite a story. But there's a deeper truth that comes as a result of it. And in some ways, it foreshadows the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And okay, that's a nice thing to know, but what does that mean personally to me? Well, let me ask you a question. How do you think Lazarus felt when he woke up? You know, he'd been dead 4 days. Actually, his sisters were saying, you know what, it's not going well there. His body has already gone into that state that begins to occur after we draw our last breath. So how do you imagine Lazarus felt when he awoke? And he was in grave clothes in a grave. But as we read the record, it reveals that Jesus boldly called for him to come forth from the grave. Remember that? Lazarus, come forth. I mean, we're talking about somebody who just was close to Jesus. Actually, in the context there, it says Jesus wept. He was so overcome with emotion, and there were a lot of things being said and done during that time. Actually, there were some accusations being made that if Jesus had been there, that he wouldn't even have passed away or died or fell asleep. You can imagine how that must have hurt and wounded him. But what must have gone through the mind of Lazarus when he woke from the dead? He could feel the cloth napkin draped over his face, the grave clothes binding the limbs. Maybe he was saying, where am I? Maybe he could remember being sick for a few days, and now he awakens in partial darkness. What happened to me? Who just called to me? His mind whirls, trying to recognize the voice. That was Jesus calling me. He said, come forth. Oh, Lord, I'm in a grave. You know, sin has sickened us and killed us. But we have died with Christ. We were buried with him, and now also we're quickened and arisen together to newness of life. This is a perfect time to be thinking about this, kind of having it become a little bit more real, because we're right in that time frame now between the resurrection and the ascension, right? When Lazarus came out of the grave, Jesus called to those standing by to, hey, loose him and let him go. And there was something of those grave clothes that remained that still bound him. But now he's alive. He's no longer dead. So loose him from the things of the grave and let him go. You know, all too often, items from our past still linger. We still identify with these things, our memories, our thoughts, and habits before we came to Christ. But you know what? That was our dead time, when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Sometimes we still wear the grave clothes instead of putting on Christ. You know what? We must be loosed. We must be free of them. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We have a new quickened wardrobe to put on. Keeping the old grave clothes around keeps us from manifesting the up from the grave he arose attitude. We have a mighty triumph for our foes. Well, here's another way to look at it. If you permanently lost 45 pounds, would you keep your old clothes around just in case you regained the weight? So now we got to learn how to have a new way of living and a new way of thinking. So you have put off the old man, his heavy burden of sin, and put on the new man, which is much, much lighter. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, familiar verse to many of you. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. It says, like as Christ was raised up. This is the standard of our newness of life. We are to walk in resurrection glory. Our past is not behind us. It's completely obliterated. We have been made new creations in Christ with many, many sonship rights. So have we shed the grave clothes? Have we come to that point of realization? We're alive. We're free from those things that held us in prison and in captivity. You know, newness of life is fresh. It's unused. It's never been seen. You have that new life smell. You're not stale, nor do you smell like the grave. You know, at times we have all felt like we were still lying in the grave asleep. Though Christ has been victorious over death and sin, we sometimes have not fully appreciated or understood or taken to ourselves all he has done to us or for us. We live in the past in the bondage of the grave and its clothes, but we are free, free from sin and death. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, there's a great verse. Wake up. We must awaken like Lazarus. What must have been his thoughts? And then the reality that he's alive. I mean, quite possibly he was jumping around. They threw a party that night. I mean, can you imagine the testimony of his being raised from the dead? That must have just been quite a celebration. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It says, you know what? We're commanded here to do what? Wake up. We're commanded to arise. It's that time to arise. Run into the arms of our Savior. He'll give us light. You know, this word arise is also that word that's used in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John healed the lame man at the temple gate, beautiful. Peter commanded him, rise up and walk. You know what? He had a choice to believe what Peter spoke or stay in his bed and remain lame. You might think of it as to be lame is to abide in the grave clothes. But guess what? We are loosed. We are set free. We've been given liberty in Christ's accomplished work, and especially through his resurrection. You know, our new calling is to life and peace and joy. And maybe this is a good way for us to all understand it and how this new life in Christ, we will be able to picture it a little bit better. You've heard of the Witness Protection Program? If you've ever watched FBI or any crime show or anything else, or maybe if you even watch TV, I'm sure you're familiar with it. But you know what? God has placed us in his own version of a witness protection program. You know what it's called? With Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for you are dead. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know what? Your old life is gone because you died with Christ, but then you were quickened. You were made alive. You were given an amnesty for your participation in any crimes. You have been relocated to a new place. You're now seated in the heavenlies. You've been given help in procuring a new job because now you're a witness for Jesus Christ. And boy, what a joy it is to be about our Father's business. You've been given a new lifestyle, one that's been we've been empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, and your old self, your old identity is dead and gone, and you have a new identity in life. Guess what? Time to live it up. Time to live it up. Take off the grave clothes. Have the realization. God's working with us to help us to realize the past has been obliterated. We have newness of life that we can walk in us. So how many of us define ourselves by our former actions? I'm a cheater, a liar, an addict, a sinner, an enemy of God. You know, we must We got to come to understand that we are forgiven in our past. Even a minute ago, it's not just covered, but it is totally cleansed and washed away. You know, we are now redefined by the work of Jesus Christ. The new definition of our lives is we are as He is. We are defined by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ identifies us and He defines us. He is our new identity. Now that's a new life. We weren't just assigned a new name, given up a new ID and a passport. You know what? The Word of God says we are made new creations. And to create biblically means to make something new that never existed before out of nothing. Who you are is really new. And even that may be an understatement. How about the grave clothes have been incinerated and the ashes have been pulverized? They are gone and all of your old man with them. We have been completely, 100% made free and transformed. We need to have a look at Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 4, if you go there with me. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. You know, the real correct tense is we were buried with him. We were buried with him by baptism into death. You know, this word baptism has been really used in a lot of different ways, and I'm sure there's a lot of confusion about it. But it has a wonderful usage in Greek that's unnoticed in English. This word baptism is the same Greek word that is used for pickling. To make a pickle, you start with a vinegar solution, spices, and a cucumber. The cucumber is cooked and then submerged, which is the Greek word baptisma, into the solution for a few weeks. And during this time, a very important action occurs. The cucumber changes and takes on the flavor of that in which it is baptized. But more importantly, its very nature is changed. It is no longer a cucumber. It becomes a new creation. Guess what they call it? A pickle. A pickle. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 6. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were baptized into Jesus Christ, into his death. At that point, our old nature died and we were made as he is. You, I, all that are listening and all that will ever hear this news are free from the sin nature. And maybe to say it another way, you are now a Jesus pickle. You have been transformed. You have been made new. We have a new life. We were dead, but now we're quickened. You know what? Lazarus had a second chance in our life. And guess what? So do we. So do we. Amen. You know, in John chapter 12, to close in verse 9, John 12, 9, I think that's just such a cool thing. A number of years ago, I did a teaching called the pickling solution. Cucumber goes in, stays. When it comes out, it's a brand new thing. Tastes different, looks different, smells different, everything. It's been totally immersed. We know what infusion is. A lot of us have oils that are infused with peppers and different things like that. It takes on those characteristics, and then it becomes like that. That is giving it that characteristic. John chapter 12, verse 9 says, much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Not only were they now accusative and slandering and going after Jesus, but they saw Lazarus, who Jesus has raised from the dead, and they also wanted to put Lazarus to death. Interesting saying, but by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Well, you know, we are a new creation. We also can display our light, our transformative way of living that is completely new, completely fresh, completely life-giving. And as we go forth from this point forward, let's be more determined to live out the reality of the new creation. And like Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. God is calling all of us to come forth, to arise, to wake up, to enjoy the benefits. Because like somebody there prayed earlier, life is fragile. There's a brevity to life. Let's live every day to the fullest capacity that we can possibly live it. Amen? Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the miraculous beings that we are. And the only way we could get there is because of what Jesus did on our behalf. And Father, I pray that our eyes are open and our ears are open to hear more about who we are. And the grave clothes, we just shed them off and we're awakened to a new life. And I thank you, God, that you understand our hearts. You will work with us and continue to teach us and help us in learning how to live that life. And to help others in the transformation process too. And we pray to you, Father, we love you and our country and on this National Day of Prayer for all the other believers in the body of Christ who humbly submit themselves before you. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.